What I Did on My Summer Vacation by Barclay Thompson. Remember those grade school essays? I've been away for a while, 60 days to be exact. I was on sabbatical, which is not exactly vacation, but was hugely fun. So what did I do on sabbatical? Well, I finished writing a book, which is available this very day for purchase in the Cathedral Bookstore. I wrote a historical essay on a dark chapter in my family's Texas history in which one family member murdered another in 1878. I'm hoping a historical journal will pick that one up and publish it. And I prepared the lectures for the Dean's Hour series on God in Southern Literature that I will teach in October. I also read a lot. I read the morning newspaper, which was a rare treat for me. I read Ron Chernow's new biography of Ulysses S. Grant. Ron Chernow will be here to speak later this fall on that very biography. It is over 900 pages long. I suggest that you get started. I reread a sublimely good Wendell Berry novel, and I read one other book, to which I'll return in a few minutes. But I didn't simply sit at home, read, and write, although for me that would have been enough. At the beginning of June, Jill, the kids, and I traveled to Malta, where I served as the summer vicar at Holy Trinity Anglican Church. While we were on Malta, the Thompsons lived in the big, rambling, 100-year-old former bishop's house, which had what I will call a moldy nostalgia about it. It was shabby chic, with a strong emphasis on the shabby, but it was home to the Thompsons for a month. After returning stateside, I supplied for one Sunday for our sister parish, St. Mary's in Belleville. I visited General Convention for a day in Austin, saw some of you there. Jill and I hosted 22 Thompsons for a family reunion at our little place in Austin County. Of course, I returned here for a day to honor the life of, and lay to rest, our friend and brother Ardell Ray. And finally, my family and I traveled to Linville to be near John and Margot Cater for the last week in the mountains of western North Carolina, where the high temperatures were in the mid-70s, where I served at All Saints Church last Sunday. As I said, sabbatical was hugely fun, but it was also taxing in a way that I did not expect, both intellectually and geographically. I'll explain to you why. First, in writing that essay about my Texas family, I traveled back in time and I read century-old letters that chronicle my own kin betraying kin. Loved ones disowning loved ones. Family spilling blood in acts of violence. In reading Ron Chernow and those Southern authors, I revisited periods in our national history in which we treated one another as less than human. In reading the daily newspaper, I was reminded that such periods are not only past history, but are also present. Geographically, on Malta, I encountered a place that has been conquered more often than perhaps any other place on the planet. Every empire that has ever traversed the Mediterranean has invaded at one time or another Malta. From the Middle Ages to the Second World War, the Maltese have been a people under siege and under assault, pawns in someone else's geopolitical chess game. This identity is in the Maltese psyche. And for a month, I experienced just an iota of that through osmosis. Then just down the road from here in Belleville, St. Mary's Church is between rectors, and the good folks there are experiencing the palpable anxiety that comes with such between time. The parishioners of St. Mary's wonder who will emerge to be their next spiritual shepherd. They wonder if they're going to be okay. A bit further down the road in Austin at General Convention, the day I visited, the anxiety there was heightened because the debate was about prayer book revision. You want to look at, do you hear that? It just kind of filtered through the congregation, even as I said it. You want to discomfit a convention center full of Episcopalians? Talk about revising the Book of Common Prayer. And then I met with much grief, as did each of you when Ardell died. So when I think back over the summer, over all of these things, I realize that I should be drained and famished, spiritually speaking. Betrayal, disregard, violence, conquest, anxiety, grief. These are the things I visited on sabbatical. But then one doesn't have to go on sabbatical to encounter any of these. They are part and parcel of everyday life. We need only turn on the news or peek around the next corner or get out of bed in the morning to find them. Perhaps we should all be famished. And yet, today as I stand here with and before you, I am full. Each experience that I had on sabbatical, both in my armchair and traveling far and wide, sustained me. Why is that? How can it be? Well, the last book I picked up on sabbatical, the one that I am still reading, is Texas folklorist J. Frank Dobie's classic, Tales of Old Time Texas. Dobie shares one story about the ubiquity of cornbread in the wilds of old Texas. Those who'd left their old lives behind to blaze a trail in Texas often suffered depredation and want. They encountered betrayal and loss. Their souls, like their mouths, at times became so parched as to leave them desolate. But every time that it seemed hope was gone, when they reached the farthest edge of the frontier, the weariest traveler would come upon some cabin or campsite and be offered cornbread. Wheat was scarce. Even salt pork could run out. But cornbread was reliable. When life was precarious, a kernel or two of corn ground into meal and mixed with just a sprinkle of water was enough to sustain. It was like a gift from heaven. Last week's gospel lesson, 5,000 hungry people were fed with fish and bread. They ate their fill and it felt good. Their grumbling stomachs were assuaged. Well, today's gospel lesson begins the very next morning, and the crowd is ravenous all over again. That full-bellied satiation of the evening before has worn off, and the crowd craves for something more. They follow Jesus doggedly around the Sea of Galilee, and one senses that their desperation is not the kind that comes from missing breakfast. Their hunger runs deeper than their stomachs. The gospel is trying to tell us something more. It is revealing to us what we already know in our own lives, that material sustenance, whether it's food or leisure or abundant things or manufactured summer experiences, is always transitory. It can fill us up and satisfy us for an hour or a day or maybe, if we're lucky, a season. But eventually we recognize that transitory things cannot nourish the spirit. At best, they are like a faddish diet pill that merely masks the emptiness caused by the anxieties and the griefs and the disappointments in our lives. The crowd who follow Jesus around the lake want him to feed them again, like he did the night before, to keep their gnawing emptiness at bay. But this time, Jesus won't give them something transitory. Jesus says to them, with a truth so simple as to be elegant, "The bread of God gives life to the world. I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Each of my sabbatical experiences could have ended with a gnawing spiritual hunger, an emptiness. But none of them did. Because in each of them, I met Jesus. Each time the landscape began to look desolate and those pangs began to throb, some kernel of grace, some sign of God's presence appeared. In the often convicting southern writing of Flannery O'Connor, in the fierce Catholic devotion of the Maltese people, in the anxious but ardent faith of Episcopalians in Belleville and Austin, in the vulnerable love of this congregation for Ardell Ray, and in blessed moments spent with my family. In each of these, Jesus was present this summer as the very bread of heaven. And so it is with all of our encounters. At the very edge of our frontiers, when we are drained and empty and the landscape seems desolate, there is a kernel of grace to be found if we will but look. Jesus is always there, just ahead of us along the lake shore. He meets us, assuaging our deepest hunger, filling our emptiness, redeeming our bleakest encounters and our greatest challenges with God's embracing love. He is the bread of life, the very gift of God that never runs out. And like those met in friendly cabins and around warm campfires, He's ours to share with one another. Friends, it is good to be home, and I've missed you all. Amen.